The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 232. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going? By the way, don't forget to pick up Excellence, which is coming out this Wednesday.
Comics! Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, what up?
Adam Vale.
Shalom.
And Brett Murdoch.
Yo.
Brett, what's Brian up to tonight, man?
You're gonna put me on the spot. He's baking crumpets.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I go to you because you're the guy who actually comes up with imaginative shit on the spot. The rest of us have to.
What do you think these crumpets make themselves?
That is
true. We have a whole fucking nation to supply.
Well, I was gonna say he's a Men in Black because now Men in Black are British.
Oh yeah, that is true. You know,
he's on the toilet because he drank some bad tea.
Well, Chris Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth's Australian.
Well, he's probably playing British.
No, let's just be honest. He's just busy with Brexit.
Yeah.
He's protesting. He's doing making, a lay down.
He's making Brexit.
He's making Brexit. <Ba-dum-bum>. You know? Yeah, man. No filler shit. So let's just get into it, man. Questions tonight. All right. First up, Mr. Annihilator 83. Do any of you guys buy game guides? I like to get the hard copies of open world or RPG games. Yeah, this was something I used to do way hardcore back in the day. The latest one Manny got me was for Mega Man 11. But in general, you don't really need game guides anymore because you have the internet. But back in the day, you know, for sure.
Back and right now, they kind of sweeten the deal for you where they give you a full-on art book inside of the game guide. So like that game guide that I bought, Tony, which was fucking huge.
Yeah,
for just it's awesome. Mega Man game, but most of that book is just the art is an art book, which is rare in video game stuff anyway. Yeah. So.
And I like me the arts, as you know, mm-hmm. That's part of the reason I'm like, hey, Manny, wink, wink, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what about the rest of you guys? Do you still get by these books in the modern age?
I mean, shoot, what was the last one that I ever picked up? Hell. Well, you know what? No, I mean, it was a kind of a bought it on a whim, but because it was cheap, because I bought the MGS 4 one. But I mean, I guess that's the last one. But yeah, back in the day, I used to buy those things like crazy. Like, I have still have the one for Final Fantasy 7, Final Fantasy 8, 10. I have
Final Fantasy 7?
Yeah, I have one for 7. There's an error. There's a bunch of errors in all those old books, by the way.
Yeah, there were.
Interestingly enough, I know a guy that used to write those.
Oh, really? Sure. Nice.
Yeah, he did the Jade Empire one, the Final Fantasy VII one, the Gale of Darkness, and Yu-Gi-Oh! Nightmare.
Nice.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah. The Final Fantasy VII one has a couple of errors as far as the numbering goes on some of the vaults.
I don't know if that's the one. If it's the survival guide version, then it's his. If it's not,
it's through Brady Games or something like that, I think. Or the other one.
The biggest one, and you've probably actually all read, was he did the Prima Official Jade Empire guide.
Never played Jade Empire.
Neither have I.
You guys are missing out.
All right, Brett, what about you, man? What guides did you used to buy?
I used to buy guides for, like, I actually had the Jade Empire guide, which was a little weird when I first met James.
Did you get him to sign it at least?
Honestly, no, just because we're pretty close friends, and at this point, that'd be kind of weird.
Manny, how many times have I asked you to sign shit for me that you
Every
drew?
Every single time.
Ask Manny to sign shit for me, it's weird to send some shit signed.
Shit, everybody's asking me for shit to sign, so...
I apparently don't understand signatures. I don't even sign my own artwork.
No, oh man, that's suicide. You better do that.
Yeah, man, that's how you're remembered.
Well, no, it's not sad. It's also because, you know,
motherfuckers are still your shit.
Yeah, motherfuckers are still your shit. You may find your tattoo design is on some hat made in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Yeah, so something like that has happened to me.
Yeah, wasn't it like a dress or something that was on?
It was a clock.
It was a clock. Yeah,
it was a clock that from one of my designs got made. A bunch of other things that have gotten stolen, from, you know, and used up from my stuff. Stuff people taking my work and putting it on t-shirts and shit, all kinds of stuff.
The
worst thing about it all actually is, especially when you do fan art, it's you don't have the right, like the way Amazon and eBay works and a lot of stores work is that you have to own the property to be able to have it taken off by somebody else. So being that I don't own Metal Gear or I don't own, like, you know, something like a what are the, you know, Mario Brothers, if I drew something like that, I can't write a thing and claim copyright, because that's the only way you can get it off, even though I do have the right to the usage of the artwork. It gets
cloudy with tattoos, though, because, like, if I create a design and then tattoo it on somebody, do they own the design or do I?
No, you own the design.
I'm not really sure.
But let's not go down the rabbit hole right now. Adam.
Oh,
yeah, Adam.
I remember the last one that I purchased, and it was in 2005 at J&R Computer World. Well, when I was still around, it was Forza for the first one, Forza Motorsport. When that came out, all the cars were in there with all the specs, and I just wanted to know everything. I wanted to know the best way to customize. I wanted to know all the ins and outs and the different add-ons for each car. And that was one big hefty guide. That was pretty big. And it was beautiful. The artwork had all the images of the cars. It wasn't just like, you know, telling me a certain car, the year, and then all specs. It had the images of everything. It was beautiful. I love that one. And maybe it was before or after. I don't remember which one came first. I also bought the GTA 4 guide. I don't remember if that was before Ford's or after, but those are the two. Yeah, those are the two last. Those are two last. After that, I just never touch paper again. So
yeah, you don't need to.
Don't want paper cuts.
Chris.
I think the last guides I remember buying was I got the Pokemon Platinum, like, Pokédex, which is this thick book with all the Pokemon in there. Their stats, their secret stats, and then breeding guide and all that stuff. And that was for Platinum, which came after Diamond and Pearl, but it's basically the same thing.
Diamond and Pearl.
I think I had the guide for Resident Evil 5 too, the old Brady Games guide. That's pretty much it. I haven't bought a lot of guides since back in the day. I used to buy more for PS2 games. I had the Final Fantasy 7 guide and whatever, but I haven't since, I don't know, PS3, that's tapered off. I haven't really bought many guides. I never bought any this generation. I can't think of one.
Fucking Game Facts. Remember Game Facts? That was one of my first sites to go to. Yeah.
They're still around.
One of my
man.
First sites to go to for guides. And
yeah. And now you can just go to YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Now the YouTubes.
Yeah. It's kind of funny about Game Facts. I still go to them when I play old games. I still pull them up. I did it last year when I was playing the first Dragon Quest. I was like, well, I'm going to use Game Facts now. You know, Carlos, what about you? Game guides? Yes or no?
I haven't bought one in probably like 2 decades, maybe. I have the Prima guide for Pokemon Red and Blue. And that I can remember, that's the last one I ever got. And similar to you guys, whenever I'm stuck on something or want to figure out some stuff, I just Google everything. Usually IGN has guides, GameFAQs has guides, YouTube.
Well, but do you go through the guides? Or because I don't think it's so much that... I think guides, for the most part, aren't used. And people, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the wiki format has taken over a lot of that job. Most of the time when I'm dealing with game, especially like RPGs or something like that, I find myself on a wiki type site, Dark Souls, even like God of War and shit. Like it catalogs the enemies, it catalogs the weapons, it catalogs the storylines in a way that I just feel is kind of superior to old school guides. Because even then, if I'm trying to find my way through a guide, I'm like, fuck, I have to read through this whole fucking section that's telling me. I just want to know the answer to this one goddamn item.
Well, that's because, like, a wiki is not really a guide. It's more of a summary, if that makes sense. It's like,
Yeah, but the wiki has summary, essentially summary guides, quick short summary guides of every single mission too. So
yeah, if you write like the name of a boss, if you scroll down, they tell you all his weaknesses and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what Brett's talking about.
Yeah, I guess I can understand that. Yeah, you can definitely use that as a guide. But I guess wikis, like for me, the way I use them, it's more if I want a summary on something. Like, let's say you fought this boss and you want to figure out the story of the boss or whatever that you didn't capture, then I just go and read up on that stuff.
No, because they tell you game guides. Like, it'll look up a mission, because I do this on Divinity sometimes, and it'll be like, you know, this is part of this mission, and then it'll give you a brief summary of the mission, and then a complete walkthrough of the mission with, like, all of the different options, and then it'll end up with, like, the different rewards and everything like that you can then click through to and find out more information about those. So you absolutely can be like, okay, so, like, I don't know what mission I'm on. You just type in Google the name of the guy who you're talking to. You're like, who the fuck is Galvin? And you just, you know, Divinity 2 Galvin, and it'll bump, like, part of this quest chain, and you click that, and it'll give you a quick summary, and you go down to the part that you're stuck at. And then you just use that to quickly pop past the part that you're stuck at. Or you're like, oh, shit, if I do this, is it going to ruin the end of the game? And it'll say, like, you know, warning, spoiler, has endgame effects. Okay, so killing this guy is the main guide. Like, so it's useful as a guide. And I find that when I use a guide, there's so much fat to walk. Like, I don't want somebody to literally walk me through the game. I just want to know if there's something that I missed or a weakness or something like that or what the next fucking part of the quest is supposed to be, because apparently I'm lost.
So maybe you can say, like, I don't even know if there's a contrast between these two terms, but like a wiki, like a guide, like a traditional guide is more of a walkthrough, a guide, and a wiki is more like a cheat sheet kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of. Well, a walkthrough literally is what the name implies. It walks you through the game, essentially. It's like a friend sitting behind you and be like, okay, now if you turn left here, there's going to be a thing. And then you want to double back, and there's going to be a guy that attacks you. Then you want to climb that rock and get that treasure chest up there. Like, it's very linear in the way that it brings you through the level to make sure that you collect everything. Whereas a wiki isn't necessarily, like, unless you work for it and be like, okay, I'm going to look up the zone to make sure I find everything. It's more of a shorthand. So a wiki generally gives you the next step, whereas a walkthrough holds your hand. But I'm not sure that people are looking for hand-holding so much anymore. I feel like the walkthrough is slowly dying because...
It's dying because they got YouTube to walk you through the entire game. That's why.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
what... So you think walkthroughs have become videos? And
yes.
They've been supplemented by wikis as cheat sheets, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, most people, if they get stuck in a game, they just go to YouTube. That's what I do. I just go right to YouTube and skip around to the point where I'm at, you know, and that's it.
That's why, if you notice, like, that's why places like, you know, a lot of those strategy guide companies are going out of business.
Oh, yeah. They're useless now.
Nobody, especially when you have so many people who are essentially making content for free. Why buy the strategy guide for the book? You know, for the thing, and that's why you see that change where it's like now they include a whole art book with the whole, you know, other part.
Yeah,
of
it. To entice
you. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a defunct format. Like, I hear what you guys are saying in the sense that, like, yeah, there have been other people who have crowded the market, but even then, like, can anybody tell me if you had a physical strategy guide next to you as well as a phone in your hand and you needed to figure something out about a video game? Would you really crack open that strategy guide, or would you just Google it real quick?
Yeah, I'm going to Google. Waste my time opening a fucking book, you know?
It depends if I had somebody next to me who has the guide open. Like, when Manny and I, when we would play, mm-hmm. if someone's next to me, it's like, turn left. Oh, wait, here, where's the code? Here's the code. There we go. We beat Shadowrunner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, man, let's move on, because we got a bunch of questions tonight. Next up, have you ever gotten stuck on something so stupid in a game that you feel like an idiot when you get past it? If so, what? I wish I could name a specific one, but this is happening a lot where I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm stuck on something. It's fucking hard. And then, like, when I figure out, I'm like, oh, you're a fucking idiot. That was so simple, you know? And it's usually because I'm overthinking it. Like, oh, here's a good example. I can't name the game, but, like, for example, let's say I see a building. I'm like, how the fuck do I climb this shit? So I'm trying to find ways to climb it. And then it's like, dude, you just use those stairs right there, man. Like, I don't even bother looking at the stairs, you know? Shit like
that. Yeah. All right, I have an easy one.
Yeah. Hold on. Adam, you go first and then Brett.
Yeah, mine was easy. For the first division when I was playing, when I would see where to go, it's like, oh, around this building. I'm looking for doors. I didn't even think about going through windows. I'm like, oh shit, wait, yeah. I can go through the windows. Oh, because so many games, you'll see a window. No, yeah. You can't interact with the damn window. And then after that, it just changed. And I was like, oh shit. I remember there was this one point. I was like, get into this building. I'm looking to see if there was like a subway station. I'm doing all this shit. I gave up. I said, you know what? Let me look online. Sure enough, fucking guy just turns from the front, goes through a window. He climbs up into it. I was like, I didn't know I can do that. All right.
All right, Brad, go ahead.
I'm going to answer your question with a question. You ever wonder why items twinkle in video games now?
Who's doing what now?
Who touched you?
I'll show you on the doll. I said, do you ever wonder why video games twinkle in video or items twinkle?
Oh, yeah. That's to let you know you can interact with them. Because
for our younger listeners, back in the day, not everything necessarily twinkled or glistened. And there were dozens of games.
Ledges didn't have little had like paint or something on it.
All right, now we got to do the requisite throwdown history lesson, right? See, back with the advent of 3D games, right, it was very easy to tell what object you interact with because it was made out of polygons. The background would just be static, right? So in the PS2 era, everything's a polygon. So that's when you started seeing things shimmer, you know, like things you could interact with. I mean, and obviously they've gotten so blatant about it. It's like everything red you could climb, everything shiny. Yeah. Anyway, Brad, go on.
Well, Resident Evil had a lot of that shiny stuff in it.
Yeah, Resident Evil was good about that.
But I remember Resident Evil. I was like, oh, that thing's made out of polygons. I can interact with it because it just looked off, you know. Anyway, go on. Yeah.
It's like Soul Reaver. Like so many games you would fight. You would sit there and you'd be like, oh my God, I've looked through the entire room 4 goddamn times. I've backtracked at the beginning of the level. I've killed every enemy. I've picked up every item. What the fuck is going on? And you finally get a guide and you look at it and you're like, there's a lever in that room? And you go over and you're like, God damn it, there was a lever here the entire fucking time. It just kind of, it looked like part of the door and I apparently didn't step in the exact right place to activate it. And it has no shine, no shimmer. It just looks like part of the background. I feel like an idiot. You just press the button and a giant fucking door opens. I can't tell you how many times that happened. And I'm convinced that's the reason things so blatantly shine these days, because there's nothing that sucks more than having your progress of video game just abruptly halted for 2 hours where you look for a fucking button.
Yeah. By the way, here's some insider baseball stuff for you guys, right? That is one of the things that terrifies me when I'm reviewing a game that isn't out yet. I'm like, if I get stuck, I'm fucked. Like, I will not be able to proceed. I'm not going to be able to write this thing. I'm like, you know? So I'm like extra careful because I'm like, yo, if I get stuck, I'm fucked. Like, if I buy a game on day one, somebody's going to have the guide the next day, you know? But, yeah.
I had something like that. There's something that I'm doing a review for. It hasn't come out. Just like you said, I feel like I just came across a glitch.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, this shit can't work. And there's nowhere to look it up. So I was actually going to ask you. I'll ask you after the show if there's something that you have. Cause...
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Because that happens sometimes too. But yeah, generally, I would say 90% of the time, literally 90%, it's how fucking stupid I am. The solution is right there in my face. And I just don't look at it because I'm trying to find a more complex solution for it, you know? And then, like, the really hard shit, I won't have a problem with it. It makes no fucking sense. What about you guys? Just jump in.
Yeah, I'm similar to you. Like, usually, also for example, Uncharted games, like, they have puzzles. But they're never really hard puzzles. But sometimes you just overthink them, and you're like, I'm trying to do this. Like, you're trying to be, like, 10 steps ahead. But, the thing is just so blatant that it's right in your face, and you just can't see it.
Yeah.
So those kinds of things, I can't really think of a specific example, but those are the kinds of things.
The water one, Uncharted 4. Remember that with the water when you're turning the knobs, you had to fill the buckets and then you had to turn them.
Oh God. I'm being real. I went to YouTube. And here's the thing. When I saw the solution, I'm like, Tony, you're a fucking idiot, because it was so simple, you know? But I was stuck on it for like an hour. I got frustrated. I look at the video. I'm like, oh my God, that was actually really easy. You know?
You know what I think? I think it's not even your fault. I think it's the way the game is designed, that it throws all this action and you're used to just running and shooting and covering, and then all of a sudden it's like, all right, now think. Here's a puzzle. Think.
No, but that's not really a problem, because I used to like thrive in that in Tomb Raider. Remember the old Tomb Raider games?
Oh, Tomb Raider did a lot of that.
But even those, like the puzzles, like I wouldn't get stuck in them, but they were complicated. So you went into thinking, oh shit, I got to do this, and that. Then you try to apply that to modern games, which are easier, and you just confuse yourself even more, you know? Because you're right, it's like pull two levers and you're done. But you're in your mind, you're like, okay, I got to do this, that, and the other thing, you know? Anyway, go ahead, Bert.
Perfect example.
Yeah.
Breath of the Wild has a puzzle dungeon where essentially a ball drops and you have to navigate it through a series of mazes to get it to at the end point where it like falls through this hole. The entire board is moved by like the bubble. So basically you move around your switch, and that's the way that you control the or your controller, and that's the way that you control the board. I played that thing for like 40 minutes, frustrated as hell at the worst version of Marble Madness ever seen, until, and I looked this up, I'll admit this, like an idiot, the solution was the simplest thing ever. Flip your controller upside down. It flipped the entire board upside down to the flat side on the other side that had no maze, and then you could just roll the ball into the hole.
Okay, Brett, see, that's one of those solutions. Remember I just said, like, so, like I'll find hard, you know, hard things like that easy? That's, I call it my Gordian knot brain took over. When I saw, when I struggled with that for like 10 minutes, I'm like, fuck this shit. I'm flipping the whole thing over. I'm using the flat side. So I figured that out on my own, you know? Because sometimes you see that, because one of the fun things about video games is like, how do you break this fucking thing? So like, I already knew I could do that, but I'm like, no, fuck that, man. I'm going to do it the right way, you know? And then after, I'm like, well, fuck this shit. So I flipped it. It was tricky to, you know, slide it in there. So I angled it at a perfect way. And then when the ball shot, it just rolled through. It was great, you know? So it's that kind of stuff I'll figure out on my own. But then simple shit will take me forever, you know? Some of those puzzles.
When you figured it out, didn't you feel like an idiot?
No, I didn't feel like an idiot because I knew what the solution was. I was just trying to be a badass and try to do it the right way. I knew what I knew exactly what to do from the beginning. I'm like, I could just flip this whole thing because I accidentally flipped it over by, you know, at first. You know, I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, no, but that's cheating. Don't do it like that. You know? Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, Manny, anything, any examples?
Like things that have gotten, you know, kind of stumped me in sort of video games?
No. Yes, man. Yeah, like you don't have to ask, man. You know.
What? No, you know.
You figured out that you felt stupid after you figured it out.
No, I mean, I'm pretty good at that sort of stuff. Or, like, I don't beat myself over something. I mean, I don't think I've ever really went in to find a solution to something. Oh, shoot. You know, actually, no. But this was actually hard, and I didn't think I was stupid on it. I was just fucking making V-Gelt and stupid Resident Evil 1. That involved math. And I didn't like that.
Yeah. You know, the question is more like you felt stupid when you figured out because you're like, oh my God, this was so easy. Why did I struggle with this shit?
No, I haven't had that much trouble with things. Because I'm a total genius.
Yes. Yeah, I guess that's what it is, man. You're the smartest guy in the room.
The smartest guy in the room. Still says the guy who says he can't do simple math in Resident Evil, right?
Yes. All right, Chris. Yeah, Chris, any examples?
I've had moments when I'm playing for the first time because I never finished it when I sold my N64's Ocarina of Time. So I'm playing it now, and Kristen will yell at me because I'll be at a part where there's a Triforce symbol on the floor and whatever. I'm looking around like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Pulling out hook shots, using magic spells and shit. And she's like, just play the song. Play the ocarina. I'm like, oh, you mean like the title of the game? Oh, you know, and then it works. And like, and that's happened to me multiple times. Where I'm like, what the fuck are you supposed to do? And she's like, just play the song. Like,
yeah, that literally happened. I played the 3DS version, but it's kind of the same game. Happened to me the entire fucking game. I didn't realize you just pull out the ocarina and play, bro. I kept forgetting every time, you know? It's hilarious.
It's like, hey, you can't remember to play the namesake of the game.
Yeah.
It's called the Ocarina of Time.
All right, I'm glad I'm not the only one then. I felt like an idiot. I'm like, Tony, play the ocarina, bro. Like, yeah. It's hilarious. I think we got everybody. I keep forgetting we don't have Brian tonight. All right. Next,
Tony.
Just one more thing. Tony. All right. Johnny Wellman is back, and he left a lot of Xbox-centric, comments in the episode. He wanted to tell us all about the Sea of Thieves update, but we don't care about that shit. So let's get to it.
Excuse me? Fuck you. I want to hear.
I'm not listening to all that shit. You can look it up yourself. It's not. He didn't ask about the Sea of Thieves. If he did, we would talk about it, but he didn't ask about it. He just asked a simple question. Do any of you have the Xbox One X? Carlos?
Guilty.
Uh-oh.
That, yeah, I have an Xbox One X. I use it to play all my Ultra HD Blu-rays, and yeah.
Yep, that's that. Ben. That's,
I mean, if there's nothing else to the question, then
no, that's literally it. That's literally it.
All right. If I did own an Xbox, I probably would have one because I never owned the previous version.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, the rest of us, except for Manny, have an Xbox, but no Xbox One X.
No, I want to state that I also have a regular PlayStation.
You mean PS4?
Regular PS4.
Vanilla. Yeah, I still have a launch PS4, so I don't.
I do too.
I do too.
So.
You just do it along with the pro.
I'm just saying, some of us on here, it's not pros. Like, yeah, it's not like I'm running a PS4 Pro and a regular Xbox. All my systems are basic, but I have all three. So there is literally no preference here, if that's what you're implying.
Yeah, by the way, this is something we always like have to bring up like every other episode. Is like, guys, we own, each of us own multiple systems, man. You know,
I have the Xbox S.
Yeah, I think we said, with the exception of Manny and Brian, all of us own all the modern systems that are out now. You know,
and actually, like, I mean, me and Adam have multiple Xboxes.
Yeah, yeah, see, there you go, man.
So we have, I think in total we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like 8 Xboxes combined.
Damn.
Yo, Adam, whoa. You even have an Xbox for me?
He's talking about all of us. Yeah. Throwdown has eight
Yeah, eight just Xboxes. Just Throwdown. So Adam has 2, Brett has 1, that's 3, Chris has 1, that's 4, Tony has 1, that's 5, really? I have 3, that's 8.
Yeah, there you go, man. Look at that, 3 Xboxes. Fucking bot. We're the pony down there, right?
I just expect after I finish saying that my last sentence, I just expected that achievement unlock thing to pop up out of nowhere.
And I'll have 0 points, which I can't believe they did that shit. I remember when those were popping. I'm like, what's the point? Achievement 0. That's like a participation award. You know? Like, what the hell? It's like, no, what? I want something to link with it, not a freaking 0.
What's the which things had a 0?
A bunch of games, and they were even at one point when the Xbox One launched, even apps like FX and stuff. Boom, you got the FX app. Here's your Chivo. I'm like, what? You watched 5 episodes of bullshit. Well, here's another Chivo.
Oh yeah, well, I got those. Yeah.
I think those are bullshit too. But I will say, that's still better than whatever fucking Naughty Dog does with their games, because those motherfuckers are skimpy with their freaking trophies, man.
Like, yeah, you got to work for them, man.
Oh, yeah, no, it's
like, you finish one of the games, you got like 20% and shit, you know?
Yeah, I think we all talked about this with the Last of Us, and when you finish that game, you're like, what, I got 4?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah,
4 trophies, man. Are you kidding? It's like...
Would that mean that does that mean that that Naughty Dog is ableist?
Because... Yes, oh man, don't start.
I'm kidding. Jeez.
All right, let's move on, man. Black Metal Gamer. What are some examples of bad Western-style Japanese games? Games like Quantum Theory or the Bionic Commando game. There was some of these games in like the last generation where the Japanese tried to emulate Western games, but it just didn't work right. What was the name? Yeah, Quantum Theory was that Gears of War game, right?
Yes, yeah. It was a Gears of War ripoff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad.
You know why that sort of stuff happened, though, right? They're trying to actively trying to attract Western audiences.
Or they tried. I think they're getting away from that
trying.
Now.
Yeah, well, they were trying to do.
Yeah,
that.
Yes.
Because, you know, in Japan, it wasn't, you know, the big console market wasn't doing amazingly. So what they were trying to do is trying to attract everybody over here. By the way, Bionic Commando is not a Japanese game. That is a Western developed game.
Oh, well, okay, so that doesn't count then. Yeah,
that's Grin, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I was watching this video Manny sent me, and the Yakuza, the guy who makes Yakuza, he was like, heck, it's surprising that Westerners like it when Japanese games are Japanese. Like, you know, it's like we don't have to, you know, try to make them Western, you know, friendly. It's like Western audiences like Japanese games that are very, very Japanese.
You know,
he's got to understand that. You know, I think he doesn't get that most of us over here in the West have grown up on games that were Japanese.
Yeah.
It's because in their schools, they were told that Americans hate them. Look at the war. So they're like, what? Oh, they hate us. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think back in the old days, yes, it was a little bit more local. More localization needed to be done because certain things having to do with Japanese culture are pretty foreign.
Yeah, but
we have a whole generation of people, like, you know, that have grown up with Japanese culture, where they're watching anime on TV and watching all this stuff. And then the other thing about it is the fact that I think that cultural difference, people enjoy that because it seems like it's a different world. Like, in other words, it's a totally different, it's like our world. You know, they still wear suits and ties and drive cars, but there's also this whole other dynamic of just the culture of Japanese people.
Yeah, man, you go there for the culture, right? It's like going to Korea and go, you know, visiting McDonald's or something.
Let's not talk about that.
Oh,
you
don't talk
about you. Why do you think it was about you?
No, it was about Carlos.
I know. I'm joking about.
You know
what I mean? Yeah, hey, man, you got to have that burger, though, son. I'm totally with you on that. You know. So yeah, what are some other examples of these type of games?
You know, games that have kind of actively
Lost Planet.
Yeah, Lost Planet.
That wasn't a bad game. It wasn't a bad game.
Yeah, it's got to be bad. It's got to be bad. Got to be bad. Got to be a bad game.
You know, it was a bad game, Resident Evil 6.
It was the one that when you run around shooting all those.
That was Western style to the extreme. It's like the devs at Capcom sat down and watched every single Mila Jovovich Resident Evil movie and like, that's what this game needs to be.
Oh, that was terrible. Yeah, I can't really think of many, but there was a couple last generation, but they're bad, so you know, you don't really think about them.
And also, there's also a lot of, you know, also Japanese companies also were doing a lot of outsourcing to Western studios. You know, you want to talk about Castlevania Lords of Shadow, that Bionic Commando game. There are also quite a bit of other games that were games that were, you know, from Japanese studios, but they were hiring Western studios, you know, independent Western studios to develop them. Probably the reason why is because I think they were trying to attract that sort of Western audience. And they're like, okay, we don't understand the Western space, but, you know, what if we hired a Western company to do that? They would probably be able to hit that a lot better.
Yeah. I got one.
Go ahead.
Metal Gear Survive.
Oh,
that's like a Western game based off a Western game.
That does count. Yeah.
Yeah. That counts. That counts. That counts. You know,
I would throw in, what is it? Rising.
Oh, yeah, I would too. Yeah. Metal Gear Right. Revengeance. Yeah. That's a horrible game, you know? All right. Next question. Will the next Sony Bend game, the people who made Days Gone, will the next Sony Bend game be on PlayStation 5? Yes, obviously. The PlayStation 4 is about, you know, the generation's over. Of course it's going to be on PS5. Yeah. And then, you know, the more interesting question is, or part of the question is, what kind of game would you like to see them make for PS5?
I don't know. I mean, Bend is a little bit of a mystery. I mean, granted, they started off making decent PSP/Vita games, but I don't know what they're like. They've always been. I mean, Golden Abyss was a decent game. I think they did a Resistance game, you know, on there. You know, I don't know what's theirs.
To be honest, I don't think I've played a Sony Bend game until Days Gone. If I have,
you played Uncharted Golden Abyss, right?
Okay, that's them. Okay, so there you go.
They also did Resistance Retribution.
I didn't play that. Okay, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't really like. I don't know enough about the studio to make any kind of predictions about, you know, what they're gonna do or even what I want to see them, because I don't know what they're capable of. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like their first a full on like fully created outing is Days Gone. I mean, you know, at least I don't know.
Yeah,
they're a little bit on the level. It's interesting because they're a little bit on the level of Ready at Dawn, but I do feel like Ready at Dawn's games were a little bit of, even the old PSP/Vita games were a little bit of a cut higher quality than their games. But then again, I did never play all of them.
Yeah. All right, let's move on because Sega, we don't really know much about Sony Bend. G Mega Force 1-2-3. All right. He's back to asking us the thick questions, as I call them, you know. Mm-hmm. But I like the thick questions. They're good because, you know, he went from like thick to just one line. I'm like, I don't know what you want to ask us. So now there's nothing lost here. All right. Why are Shotos considered noob? I've been playing Mortal Kombat games since the original Mortal Kombat on Genesis, and my favorite character has always been Scorpion, and I think I play him pretty well. I also play Katana, Kung Lao, and Noob Saibot. But by the MK11 community standards, I'm still a noob. Are all Shotos considered noob, or only the people who suck at them? All right, of
I've never heard that term before.
They're snobs.
Okay, just well, let me explain Shotos. Okay, first of all, I've never heard Shotos be talked about for Mortal Kombat. I've heard them talked about for Street Fighter. Like, that's a thing for Street Fighters. Like, oh, you play Shotos, you fucking suck. You know, Shotos being...
Is it an acronym or something?
No, it's not. Like, I think it's a fighting style, but basically Shotos in Street Fighter are, you know, Ryu, Ken, Akuma, Gaoken, those type of guys, right? The Hadouken brothers, as we used to call them.
And then
the Shotos, because apparently they have the same fighting style. You know, Scorpion, Sub-Zero, you know, the guys with the mask, basically.
Those are ninjas.
Yeah. But again, I didn't know the Shotos.
Oh, so it has to do with Shotokan? The style they do?
Yeah, yeah, because they both do the similar stances. But again, I, for like, what, the last 20 years, I've known Shoto as a term for Street Fighter. Never known it for Mortal Kombat, but I think the answer applies to both games, basically because the Shoto characters are the easiest to pick up and learn. Like, if you're a newbie, you come in, you pick them up right away. They have the easiest moves, easiest specials, they have the easiest combos, all of that. So that's why, you know, a lot of the hardcore guys, the upper elite guys, that's why they look down on Shoto characters. And I'm not just speaking about Mortal Kombat, again, I'm talking about Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat specifically. And like Adam said, they're a bunch of snobs.
Yeah, you know, man, there's no point. Come on now.
Yeah, like if you go into a look at Evo, you never, like, I think Ken is like the only one they use, like, and even then it's like, you're using a Shoto character, you know, like they look down on that shit for some reason.
Please. Who cares?
Well, you know, the fighting game community cares, apparently.
The fighting game community is overly a little bit over on all that silly shit. Just play the fucking game and be happy.
That's it. Sure, yo, I didn't fucking generate a new character. The character's in the game to be played.
Yeah, why? Yeah, well, who cares? You know, if you're good at using the character, don't worry about what the fighting game community says about this shit. You go out there and play whatever fucking character you want.
It's ridiculous to judge it by like how easy it is to pick up the character's movesets, like. Who gives a shit? As long as they're not cheap. If they're banned from tournaments, then yeah, maybe there's something wrong with them. Yeah. But if it's legit and you can pick them, why not? Why, you know, Jago's considered the same thing in Killer Instinct because he's the easiest to pick up. He's the only one in the dojo you can train with, so you can learn his moves really easily. But does it make him bad? Does it make you a noob? No, because if you whoop someone's ass with him, like that, they suck. Not you.
Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, I'm not. Can somebody please explain to me why using the classic characters is considered new?
All right, Brett, before I answer that, I just want you to know, since we're talking about Mortal Kombat, every word you said that starts with a C, I saw it in my mind with a K. That's how bad it is right now. The characters, the classic characters. By the way, when I wrote my Mortal Kombat, I had to resist not making every C word a K, you know?
I mean, you should have. You should have just gone with it.
I can't. By the way, shout out to Jordan Miner, who actually let me get away with the stupid headline, Mortal Kombat 11 crushes the competition with K's. Thank you, Jordan, for letting me get away with that stupid shit. So, Brett, you want to know why people look down on people who use the traditional characters? Is that what you're asking?
No. I'm not even saying why people look down on the people, because I can understand from the fact, like, yo, you're using the basic characters. Like, I get that from a certain point. Why is it considered noob, though? Like, that's the part I don't understand. Like, if I know how to use Sub-Zero and have known how to use Sub-Zero for 20 years, and I pick up the game and I start with Sub-Zero because I'm like, hey, man, I got 20 years of muscle memory on this motherfucker. How does that, like, understand why you're like, why you could be like, hey, man, you're using the, you know, Scorpion and Sub-Zero are your mains. That's kind of fucking basic. Like, it, at least in my opinion, like, when you play, like, yeah, you can have one of those main characters be one of the ones you play, but also play one of the, you know, one of the B-casts, too. Like, you should be good with something other than just the main characters. But I've never considered it noob. That's the part that confuses me so much, is the noob.
You know what doesn't confuse you or anyone? Pricks. everyone knows pricks, and they're just pricks. This is bullshit. I can't believe we're even talking about it.
Wait, that was the question, sir.
And I know, question. But it's a shame. It's like maybe it's just a mind trick that they're doing because they know you're good at it, and now they want you to stop playing it and pick somebody else so they can kick your ass with someone you're not good at.
Yeah, but the fighting game community, at least the modern sense of it, bunch of fucking elitists, man, you know?
Yeah, so, I don't understand all this stuff. Like, in other words, all this talk about main, I'm like, yeah, I had characters I was good at, but it wasn't really a main. In fact, whenever I would play fighting games with, you know, me, Tony, and all the rest of the guys we play, we'd play the whole fucking roster.
Well, one of our unwritten rules, or maybe almost written rules, where we're like, if you use the same character more than twice, you're being fucking cheap. Use somebody else. You know, we always used every single character. Like, I remember when, you know, I guess the fighting, when I first learned about the fighting game community, like, who's your main? I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? And they explained, like, why would you only use one character? That's stupid. You have 16 motherfuckers.
Yeah, to me, that's boring. I want to be able to play a little bit with everybody, see all the different cool moves that they do. So, yeah, they have the characters that, yeah, obviously, yeah, you have the Ryus and, you know, you have your defense characters like the Guile and stuff like that. But I mean, I feel like at the same time, it's like I also like playing everybody in a game.
Yeah, man, you want to see the animations, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the fighting game community is stupid.
It's such a weird way. It's such a, I mean, you know, this is, it's been like this for over 20 years now, right?
That's kind of, it's ever since, like, you know, I would say it's been like this since 2008. You know,
the last
10 years, yeah, or 11 years, when Street Fighter 4 blew up and it really made fighting games bigger than they used to be. But it also shrank it too, because, like, when we were playing fighting games were for everybody, right? Now it's just for these super elite prick guys, you know? It's like, you know,
but the thing is that you see the thing, what they do, what happens when they start to push it toward that sort of, you know, elite sort of like fighting game community thing, you notice that the games start not doing well because it's not effectively, you know, hitting the, you know, just the regular person out there audience. You know what I mean?
The only fighting game that does really, really well is Mortal Kombat. You know why? Because they put a lot of shit in there for people who don't care about that stuff.
Exactly. You know, you want to see the endings. You want to collect all the characters. You want to collect, you know, you want to do all those different things. I mean, Soul Calibur used to do that back in the day, and you didn't need to be like into Soul Calibur to do it either.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. And I know I'm coming off bitter. That's because I'm old school fighting game, you know, fanatic and shit. And I see what's going on now. I'm like, this is why I don't really mess with fighting games like that anymore. Like, I don't want to deal with it. And there's other shit too. Like, oh, I buy a fighting game. Oh, by the way, here's this season, we're going to get this character. And this guy, I'm like, no, I want all the fucking characters. I don't want to wait. You know, I moved on to other shit already by the time season 2 starts. Seasons in a fighting. What kind of crap is that? I sound like such an old man right now.
The last fighting game that I played was the Guilty Gear games, and I had a really good time with that. They had a lot of good stuff, little extras. You could unlock characters, and you could all do it while you were playing the actual game. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but yeah, the fighting game, you know, like Adam said, they're a bunch of fucking elitists, man. So don't worry about them, bro. Do your thing, man. Don't even worry about them.
Play whatever you want.
Yeah, bro. All right, next up, this is a fun one. Have you ever had bad experiences letting people borrow your games? So here's his horror story. When I was younger, I let this one guy borrow a bunch of my Genesis games and my power adapter. He moved away 3 weeks later and stole them all. I had some rare games, including my favorites like Streets of Rage 2, Street Rage 2 and 3, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, Sonic Spinball, every Sonic game, etc. In fact, I'm going to reach out to this dude and ask him what he did. It's almost 20 years ago, but I still want my stuff.
Yo, did this guy live in Brooklyn? Because I think I know the same fucking guy, and he took my Streets of Rage 2 and moved to fucking Vegas.
Yeah, well,
same exact shit. Yeah.
By the way, this dude is actually from Astoria, so maybe.
Oh, shit. We got ripped. I forgot the kid's name, but he did the same shit. Same game, Streets of Rage. He was like, yeah, can I borrow for a weekend? Then next week, I'm like, yo, I haven't seen him in a while. Yo, didn't you hear his family moved to Vegas?
Damn.
He knew it. He knew they were fucking moving, and he took my game with him.
Damn.
All right, go ahead, guys. Chris, why don't you start us off?
Well, I guess the worst one was when I lent Ralph Rygar. And then I found, and I never got that shit back. I found out he sold it.
Damn.
That's even worse. Shit. He was broke, had a drug problem. What the hell? Just selling your boy shit.
Yeah. Oh, man. For me, this is not a video game. This is a video game system, bro. So one of my, I always brought my Game Boy to school back in the day, right? You know, like 1995 or whatever. And one of my friends, he was like, hey, man, can I borrow your Game Boy? And he's like, all right, man, just don't play it in class. What does this guy do? Plays in a fucking class. So that his teacher takes away. I didn't have classes with him. So I go to the teacher and like, can I get my Game Boy back? Like, no, you're gonna have to have your mom come in and get your Game Boy. I go to my mom, like, hey, can you go to school tomorrow and get my Game Boy back? She's like, nope, you took that shit to school, you lent it to a friend. That's it, no more Game Boy for you. Like, fuck.
Holy shit. You know? So tough love.
That. Hey, that's how parents are supposed to be, uh-huh. By the way. You know, but so that's mine. Manny, you have anything? I know you had like some weird stories.
I have there was I used to have a friend that lived next door who would never take care of the shit that I let him borrow. Everything would come back broken or something was wrong with them. So, in fact, when we first – one of the things – here's a fun little inside baseball here. When me and Tony first became friends and he wanted to borrow things, I was incredibly reluctant to let him borrow anything.
Yeah, he wouldn't do it.
Because I was just afraid that it would come back, like, just destroyed. But, you know, Tony in general just treated his shit like gold. So if I got it back, it came back as good as I kept it. So, yeah.
It took you a while. Like, it wasn't until, like, the PS2 era where you finally lent me shit. Because you realized, like, you looked at my games, like, you know me, man. That my shit's, like, clean.
Chip, Manny, what was that one kid that was taking your G.I. Joes? Remember, your mom had to write your initials underneath the G.I. Joe's theme.
I had fucking fucked up friends when I was a kid. One kid was stealing my G.I. Joes. This other kid would borrow things and really take a long time to give them back. And then when I did get them back, they were either broken or something else was wrong.
Well, you all right? Here's one. I think it was like 8 or 9, and this is when I lived in the Lower East Side, and we had a birthday party. And I remember my dad was like, "Oh yeah, let the kids come in and play," because there was a bunch of kids outside, mm-hmm. and we're trying to have a birthday party. So all these kids I didn't know start coming in, and I didn't think anything of it. And then I noticed that the door for my room was closed. So I open up, fucking kids are throwing my toys out the window to other kids downstairs. Wow. They were stealing my – I lived on the third floor of this building. They were stealing my shit. I told my daddy, goes running out there, what the fuck? He's screaming at them. And I always remember it. I'm like, this is what you get with trying to be nice with kids in this fucking neighborhood. You know, they just came in and just started stealing my shit.
Yeah. Oh, man. Carlos.
Nothing too dramatic for mine. I just – I lend one of my friends Uncharted 1, and I just never got it back. I never even asked for it back.
There you go. So ask now. You'll get it back.
By the way, this isn't a video game, but I lent this one guy, Manny, you know who he is, Core Rozic. Mm-hmm. I lent this motherfucker the Demanufactured by Fear Factory. Never saw that CD again. Pissed me off. I love that fucking album.
That is a great album.
Yeah. I think I bought it eventually, though, but...
There was one time I lent Adam a CD of mine, and it came when I finally got it back. It looked like it was a drink coaster. Apparently,
what CD?
It was this techno CD, the Speed Limit techno CD.
Oh, the Speed Limit, the 140s, 150.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
By the way, Manny, I probably should have told you this when we first met. When I was younger, you know, before I came to America, I didn't have friends in Dominican Republic. The reason why, because I didn't want kids coming to my house, playing with my fucking toys, getting them all sticky and breaking them and stuff. Because always did that shit. They would come, they would break my toys, they would get them all sticky, they would steal them. So it's like, fuck that. I don't want, like, my mom would try to introduce me. Like, no, I don't want, no kids. I'm 5. I'm like, no kids, fuck them. You know, they're too immature.
That also happened. Like, I was a little bit reluctant to also my half brother, I would let him, you know, I wouldn't like to lend it, let him share my toys with him and stuff, because he was like 3 or something like that. You know, a little kid. And obviously, you know, your parents are like, oh no, give it to him. And then what does he do? He starts smashing them against the walls and shit. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, I know. See,
like, even now I have my little boy, he's 2 years old, and he comes into my game room. He's like, oh, he wants to play with everything. So I have a bunch of broken controllers and shit just waiting for him in a corner. But when he comes in here and he wants to play, I'm like, oh, no problem. I give him a broken PS3 controller and he sits on my lap while I'm playing. I was like, he thinks he's playing and it works out.
There you go, man. Carlos, you going to say something?
Yeah, I remember this one time I lent my friend an Xbox 360 controller. and like he brought it back like a month after I lent it to him, and that shit came back. The thumbstick was worn out. It looked like a freaking someone put a torch to that shit. It was just yeah, man. I'm like, what the hell is this? And yeah, it was free. It was unusable. I had to fucking throw that shit away.
Man. All right, Brett, what about you? Horror stories?
Remind me the exact nature of the question. I mean,
have you ever had any bad experiences lending people games or consoles or whatever?
Okay, that's kind of what I was figuring. Yeah, kind of, but whenever I lend stuff like that out, it's either A, I'm using it, at which point it's valuable and no, you can't borrow it, or B, I don't really expect much out of people, so I don't really expect to get my shit back in any kind of usable condition. It's kind of like when you loan people money. Like, if you don't want there to be animosity, you loan the money with the idea that you're probably just not going to
see it again.
So I kind of had that same idea with like loaning controllers or video games. Like, there's a good chance I'm going to get this thing back scratched up, or, you know, and the only time I really put my foot down was when I had friends who stored stacks of games, just discs in a stack.
I knew those guys.
And you did not loan him your video games because, and you're like, why? I'm like, dude, because you fucking stack them. Like, I'll keep it in the box. No, bro, you won't.
Like, or the other one where they have this bad habit of never putting the game back into its case, so they will never. So it's in some other case of a bunch of other thousands of cases that are probably close to
them. Yeah, you get your game back. There's no fucking game in there, or the wrong game. You know, it's like, what the fuck is this shit?
Dude, that's just a mix up. Like, I'll even forgive that. It's when you fucking like pull my game out and just drop it, like. Drop it right on the fucking coffee table, right on the shiny part. Like, yeah, I'm not a fan of that. But again, most of the time, like, if I've played a game and I really enjoy it and I want to lend it to a friend, it's because I want them to experience it. Like, yeah, okay. But the worst reaction you get from me is like, okay, well, you fucked up the game I lent you. You can't play it anymore.
Yeah. Fuck people, man. All right, let's move on. Johnny W. Uppercut. And again, I want to thank you for putting the period after the W. It looks great now, bro. All right. First question. Oh, boy. Oh, all right. I'll ask and I'll just let one. I'm not going to answer because I'm going to get in trouble. But
okay.
Do you guys think society becoming more politically correct will affect the content in video games in the long run?
It already has.
I mean... That's no question. I mean, any sort of changes in societal norms affects the entertainment, you know, the things we see out there. You know, I mean, we've lived in that sort of age when we went from the 80s, which was all balls to the wall craziness, to the more politically correct era of the 90s. You know, so it always changes and always it's always there.
Like you said, yeah, entertainment reflects a society, so yeah,
exactly. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so it's not the long run. Yeah, like you guys said, it's already happened. That's what I want to say, but like, am I gonna get in trouble for saying that?
I don't think that's that much of a controversial statement. I just think, yeah, it's just like anything that happens in society. Mm-hmm. They get reflected in entertainment, whether the authors mean it to be or not, don't mean it to be.
Yeah. All right. That's a good answer for that. Let's move on. Why is it none of these publishers are getting the same backlash for selling timed exclusives compared to the backlash Epic Games is getting for buying timed exclusives? I'm not sure if I understand this question, but...
Because Epic is fracturing a community?
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's that question.
Okay. I got you.
It's that question.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, basically, like, if you have, like, let's say Microsoft... They buy a time exclusive. They're not going to get nearly as much flack as Epic is currently getting. That's his question, basically, right?
Oh, but they'll still get flack.
They still do,
but apparently not as much as Epic.
Well, they slowed down doing it. In fact, I think they completely stopped. Last one was Tomb Raider.
Microsoft, yeah.
Yeah, Microsoft. So Phil was like, he's done with that shit.
Yeah, gamers don't react to that. They don't react to that shit. They just don't buy it when it finally comes out, and they've learned that the hard way. So there's that. I think there's two parts to this answer. One is that they're attempting to fracture what is currently a fairly unified community. And two, PC gamers are the most vocal of all. Think about it. PC gamers can post shit right to the internet from the same machine that they used to game on. It is very easy for them to talk shit and cause a rabble, and they are the most vocal bunch of us gamers. Gamers are a vocal bunch, but PC gamers are the fucking loudest.
That is true. All right, so yeah, I think that's what it is. All right, moving on, Mr. Tennessee Sooner. He just says, I'm going to try to participate weekly in asking questions. That's fantastic. Please, please do.
Please do.
Yeah, and he goes, I love the show, even if we do not agree on a few things. Hey, man, that's all good, bro.
It's part of life, man. I can't agree with everybody.
Yeah, you can't agree with anybody. We wouldn't. Why would you? This would be an incredibly boring world if people did.
I like it. All right, we're done. See you next week.
Like, I agree with all that these guys said. Yeah, like, think about this, Damien, right? I consider him one of our biggest haters. He watches every week because we're entertaining, you know?
I mean, yeah.
I'm on the panel and I disagree with you half the time.
See?
I mean, a long time ago, like, I remember, being friends with Tony and stuff like that, we would disagree on a bunch of different things, have these crazy, heated, conversations about it. But, in the end, we're like, yep, all right, it's all good. You don't like this, I don't like this, but, we do agree on these other things.
By the way, I find it funny that you and I haven't had any big arguments for, 20 years.
No.
We don't, know what I'm saying? Like, we kind of know each other, so it's like,
No, I mean, it just becomes like, okay, yeah, that's a Tony thing. I get that, It's like, or that's a Manny thing.
Yeah, that's what I guess. It's Manny. Right, that's it, All right. So his first question, and Adam, I guess this is really more for you here, man.
Oh, shit.
Division?
No, it's not about Division.
Ninja Turtles?
Yes. All right. He goes, I love sports games, but I have seen how lazy and complacent some of them have gotten, as Madden especially. Do you think a time will come when a third party will make a sports game with gameplay so great that it'll push the main games to do better? Only game that got close was that Blood Bowl football game.
The answer is no. Because a large majority of people that buy these games buy it because of the franchises. They buy it for the team names. They want to reenact what they saw that Sunday. And that's a downfall. So it doesn't matter if the game is great when it comes to controls. It's all about just the licensing. We've seen that with soccer games. And, of course, EA has FIFA. And everybody will go to FIFA because they want that, the official team names and players. So I just hope that eventually that deal that EA has with Madden, I know what he's talking about, because that's why it's pointless to buy him. It's just roster updates and little tweaks. But what can you expect? It's just, it's a football game. I mean, they added the long shot, which is cool. It's their story mode. The first one was great. Second one was kind of boring, So they, it's stuck. They're stuck until they release the license and say, hey, you know what? I think it's another multi-year deal too with EA. But until they say, hey, the NFL was like, all right, you know what? We're gonna open it up. So if anyone's interested, and then we see some other studios come up with creative ideas.
And I hope so, man.
Yeah, me too. But it really just comes down to the licensing, because that's what's keeping those games afloat. People are buying, and not so much, as he knows, it's not so much of what's changed in the game. It's just for the license. They want to do the updates with their favorite players that have moved to certain teams. They want to do all that. You can't do that with these unlicensed, with the Blood Bowl and all the other ones. The fun factor's there, but it's not enough to carry it in the mainstream.
It's sad because, we live in a world that we're in a world that's like that. Because, back when we were younger, it was like you had your big, big games that had all the teams in it. But then you also had games that just had a bunch of rando teams. And it was just like, all right, this is a fun playing sports game.
Yeah.
The crossover between sport, like hardcore sports fans and hardcore sports gaming fans is almost a one-to-one thing. So it's hard to appease the audience when they're not being fully met. Like with Adam mentioned, the whole NFL licensing, people want to play as Tom Brady and want to play as Cam Newton and all those NFL players. That's part of the allure of these games, is that they get to play with their favorite teams and all the players. So yeah, even if a studio releases something far superior to Madden in terms of gameplay, story-wise, and all that other stuff, I still think that Madden would reign supreme just because it has those names. And
it's
those
the branding. Yeah, that's it.
The sad thing about it is that it's because it's so installed into the zeitgeist of things that it's that it doesn't actually even need to be a really good game in order for them to make a lot of money off of it.
I mean, what was it? It's always hitting the top 10, top 20 when it launches, Madden. But I get them. And when I see these trophies, like just complete a season, ultra rare, no one's playing this. They're just doing quick exhibition matches and stuff. No one's really taking it serious. It's a small group of people that actually do it. And I think it's just a lot of people just get it just because it's the new one for that year and they just want to play some games as their favorite team. And that's it.
Yeah, I have a friend, Manny, so you know Big John. That's what he does. He doesn't like Madden games, but he's like, it's a new one. I have to buy it. Yeah. He literally says like, that. You know?
And we're
it.
Like, no, you don't.
Like, no, you don't, bro.
And that's what Activision is very lucky that they fall in that category with Call of Duty. Call of Duty has turned into almost a sport game where it's like every year, I've got to get it. You know, it has no story. Fuck it. Who cares? You know? And then by the time, now, even if they, let's say, they were like, oh, there's no story. Well, what about the next one? That one's going to have story? Yeah, I'll get that too.
Maybe. It might
have. Whatever. Who gives a shit? It's a Call of Duty. I need to shoot somebody in the face. Yeah.
By the way, Mr. B1138 says, NFL 2K was so good. This question makes me sad.
Don't do that. Yeah. That was the butter game. And it's gone.
It was the butter game, and they got taken down by the system.
Yeah. EA got scared. They saw that shit, and they were like, they opened up the wallet. Like, all right, how much?
Damn, man, that's crazy. All right, that's another thing that got killed by EA, you know.
All right. By the way, yeah, go ahead. NFL 2K, they released their games for, what was it, $30-$40? Like,
it was cheap.
Damn.
It was
cheap.
They did that for all of them, even their basketball game. That's what wound up killing Live.
All right, next question. List out what an open world game would have to do for you to see it as flawless. And he goes, or closest thing to it being flawless since nothing could get a 10. So I don't know, I guess you could interpret this as what does an open world game need to have for you to consider it, great or flawless or whatever.
Or the best it can be.
Or the best it could be, yeah. What do these type of games need? I'm going to start with Manny on this one. Since you don't like open world games.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, me changing the what an open world game is would make it not an open world game.
Okay, so you don't count for this one. All right.
No, I mean, here's the thing. It's like, you know, there's just I just feel like a lot of open world games fall into that category of, okay, we have this narrative sort of game that we decided to spread a lot of the narrative across the different portions of the game. So in other words, most of your time is spent getting to the next portion of the part of it rather than just actually, okay, that's the next part. What if you took something like The Order 1886 and decided to set it in a full-on London, but it's the same amount of story beats?
That would be interesting. Just fill it out with like side content and
stuff. Yeah, like you're filling it out with all this other stuff, but essentially the main story beats are all exactly the same length. It's just the amount of time of you walking across all of London to get to the other side is what makes the extra gameplay.
You know what's crazy? The game probably would have sold better if it did that.
Probably would have.
You know? All right, Chris, what about you?
I'd say it would have to have interaction with like almost every building in the game. Like, I want to be able to bust open a window and like, jump into, like, a house or something, mess up somebody's day, and then go into an office building, crash through the window. Like, I would want that and destructible environments, like crazy destruction.
Yeah. All right, Carlos.
Chris brought up a good point. Like, that's the first time I played Grand Theft Auto 3, like, my dream was that I could go inside every building. And every like house and all that stuff that would have been like so like because like if you think about it like I didn't even realize that you can go into every car. It's like, oh, there's a car driving by. Wait, you can get in it? And like that's I took that mentality that made me love the game and then just applied it to everything else. So having like all the buildings, like no environment going to waste, like having a lively environment, like every area has kind of its own story and its own people and not any reused assets. And yeah, good story. There's a lot of things like good gameplay. Destructible environments would be pretty cool too. Yeah, there's just so many things like that you can say about it, but I'd just be overkill at this point.
Yeah. Brett.
I think Chris pretty well nailed it, actually. fully interactive, interactive environments. And I mean, I want at least, I want Skyrim fucking level of interactivity. Like, I want to be able to, like, sweep all the shit off a desk or throw a grenade and, like, blow half the furniture out of the room. Like, and I want that with the destructible environments. Like, there'd be nothing greater than just, like, walking into a room and seeing, like, four china cabinets and being like, you know, I only have three grenades, but this is just so beautiful. And just you hucking a grenade, blowing out half the wall and watching the china flow everywhere, like, fly everywhere. Like, that sounds great. I want the ability to climb. I know that sounds stupid, but, like, in an open world game where I'm supposed to be able to freely interact with stuff, like, why can't I climb that tree up to that window? I'd be able to at least attempt it in real life. Like, maybe I fall off of the game and hurt myself. That's funny as hell. But at least let me attempt it. So pretty much nothing being just static background, pretty much interacting, like, with everything.
Like, Tony, you and I agree, like, there's no such thing as flawless.
No,
like,
of course not. That's impossible, yeah. But
imagine if, like, you are in an open world game, like a GTA game or whatever, and you're in a shootout, and you're like, shit, I'm pinned down, right? I got some C4, and there's a wall here. Let me see if I could get the fuck out of here. Like, you imagine you could just blow open that wall and expand the fight outside or just escape, right? Like, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to just jump in on yours, because I like that. It's like fully, like, completely destructible environments, you know, because some of them have a little bit of it, but it's not enough. Like, that's, you could probably make it more, quote unquote, open that way, you know, so that would be cool. But to me, like, even though they're not perfect, to me, I still believe Rockstar does the best open world games, because you really feel like that world exists. Like, that world exists even when you're not playing the game, you know? And I like, especially with like Red Dead 2, going, like, it does take a long time to get from place to place, but you really, like, the world just feels so alive. You don't mind that, because, like, this is cool. And then you start thinking about everything that's going on around you and stuff. That's really cool. But yeah, you could definitely enhance these games with, you know, more destructible environments, being able to go into every building, you know, that would be really cool. And get rid of those glitches. But you can't do that in open world. Every open world game has fucking glitches.
I mean, especially when you're dealing with procedural physics and all kinds of other randomized things, you know, they're always going to find some sort of situation where something weird is going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Adam.
The closest I've ever seen was GTA 4, and I just, for me, it would just be, yeah, go into everything, but also just be able to have a random job, like walk down the street and see a sign saying now hiring Domino's, you know, drivers or something like that, or just to work at Persona, something like that. But just like, yeah, walk into a Burger King and then have that every week randomized. So that same place that was hiring is not hiring next week. Now it's a different place. And then I can go in there and work a cashier and actually have a schedule. And I can just get stuck in that loop where I work 3 days a week or whatever, and then have side stories with the people that work there. And somebody come up, hey, you want to take my shift? I need to do this. And it's very boring and it just continues on, but that's it. And I remember doing that in GTA 4 where I was a cab driver, and, you know, you could do some missions and just keep playing as a cab driver. And I would do that for like 2-3 days straight. I was just a cabbie. You know, someone hail me and pick them up, take them somewhere. I'm like, all right, make some money. But I thought that was cool. I was like, man, if I could just do that in other areas, you know, what other random jobs? And remember, you could be a cop.
Yeah.
You know, by the way,
Go ahead, Adam. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, and then that was cool. I didn't even know about that. I think I found that out in the guide, that there was like, oh, yeah, if you get in a cop car, you know, if you finally steal one, you get into the computer, you can go pretty much be a cop. But you couldn't go full-on cop. Like, if you saw all the cops and it was a shoot, they would start shooting at you too. And that sucked. I was like, man, why can't I just, like, pop the trunk, put on a cop uniform, you know, and then just, like, be a cop. You want to play
true crime, man.
That's what I'm trying. Yo, you might as well, if you have me playing as a cop, or, you know, those type of things. I think that would be great, and I think that is possible. They could add those type of elements to it. That'll change things up in the open world. It's like, you know what? You've been playing as your main character long enough. You want to try a different role? You know, you want to be a pilot? You want to work?
Then, by the way, this is interesting. GZDR says, I want to be able to follow an NPC from work to home and listen in on their unique conversations.
You can do that in Red Dead. Yeah. Remember Red Dead 2?
You can. Yeah, yeah, you can.
Yeah, there are a lot of characters that actually have schedules. There's a whole series of YouTube videos where they're
they very follow guys. Yeah.
You see them go to work. You see them go home for lunch. You see them go back to work. You see them go home to sleep. The lights turn out. It's very creepy.
It's crazy. Shenmue also had something very similar, too, where all the characters in the environment were all specifically programmed, you know, to go and do things throughout the day, where, like, you know, 12 o'clock at lunchtime they go get something to eat, or, you know, they come in the morning, or then they go home in the evening, and then you see another person, you know, walking in for the night because they had a night job. So they had that sort of stuff even old back in Shenmue days.
Do you remember in GTA 5? I remember following someone and they stopped and like, "You following me?" Like, what? they would point it out.
They're like, "No, man." You're like, "No." Yeah,
and then eventually they get freaked out. I'm like, "You know what?" And they would either run, or if it was a tough guy, he'd just start punching you.
That's hilarious. But
I thought that was funny.
Yeah, see, that kind of stuff is fun. All right. We have two more questions to go. So, Glorious, I'm looking at you, bro. If you want to ask us something, you go ahead. And
I got a question.
Go ahead, Ben.
Oh, okay. It's kind of more of a pop culture, but it also applies to video games. I'm curious about your guys, how you guys feel about the normalization of specifically like the shit that used to define a lot of us when we were a kid. Let me give you a personal example. I loved
superheroes
ever since I was a fucking, you know, fucking like 9 years old. Like, watched him develop as a character, totally my jam. Then the movie came out. It was awesome. Second movie came out. Now literally everybody fucking loves Deadpool, and I have weird mixed feelings about that. And I'm curious if any of you guys have gone through kind of the same thing, since, you know, we're at the big end of the Avengers craze, when, you know, all of the shit that we used to get picked on is now the biggest thing in media. Like, how do you guys feel about this?
That kind of happened quite a bit, like, even like, I want to say in the 90s, but yeah, like maybe the mid to late 90s, where kind of nerd culture had kind of become sort of the norm, where it's like, okay, now you didn't get made fun of because you played video games anymore, you know, all kinds of
yeah,
other.
Yeah, but we're literally coming off a weekend where the two biggest events are a superhero movie and a show about dragons. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we've kind of come to a point where it's fully saturated. At this point.
You know, it's kind of funny. I got a one up for all of that, and that has to do with technology. Just smartphones. I remember having a Palm Pilot, and people were like, "What the hell is that? Why would you need that in a computer? Why do you need that?" Now everybody has a damn smartphone. Now it's just part of the norm. It's expected.
Yeah, it's funny because I was talking about this on Twitter, and Manny, I tagged you in it. I was just thinking about back in the day when Power Rangers first came out. It was 1994, right? Back then, Manny and I really liked Power Rangers. We would not admit that to anyone. We wouldn't admit it to anybody, right? Because it was like a kid's show, basically.
It was a kid's show, but I mean, the reason why we like you liked it a lot for the giant monster stuff. And I mean, Tip Metal, and I liked it for a lot of the kung fu shit. So it's like, okay, awesome, like Godzilla giant monster shit and kung fu stuff. This is an awesome show.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it was, you know, the kid shit was stupid. We were literally watching for all the super the ones when they're in the suit.
Yeah. Like, I liked it because it was like, you know, basically live action Voltron. That's what I described it. But back then, we would not admit that to anybody because even our monks are like, yo, should we even like this show? We asked ourselves, like, should we like this? Mm-hmm. And it's like, fuck it, just like it. Just don't tell anybody.
It's like, it doesn't matter.
Now,
it's a funny one.
Yeah, but let me finish. So I was 14 and I would not admit that to anybody. I could, as a 39-year-old man, I could go on Twitter right now. So, yo, Power Rangers is awesome. And I'll get nothing but positive. Yeah, man, Power Rangers is fucking great, dude. It's awesome. It's really fucking weird, dude. It is crazy. And I, you know, I'm not going to, I actually do have an answer for this, but I'm just not going to say it on air. But it doesn't make me feel very comfortable. Like, I'm just going to leave it at that. It doesn't make me feel very comfortable how things have kind of shifted. It's cool that, like, my favorite superheroes or whatever are getting, like, these big million-dollar movies, but there's a downside to it. And same thing with video games. It's like, I wish we could go back to the 16-bit era where games were just specifically for, like, nerdy people. You know, like, now everybody plays games. Grandma's playing games.
They weren't for nerdy people. I mean, a lot of people played games. A lot of people also didn't admit that they played games because they thought it was cute, childish.
Yeah.
Same things with the comic thing. I don't believe in this sort of walled garden sort of thing.
They call it gatekeeping.
I do understand, you know, kind of going into the whole situation, like, you know, you were there when it wasn't anything and all that stuff. Well, you know, there is that great, that good feeling, but I feel like that it shouldn't be that way. I mean, I don't have a problem with nerd culture being all over the place.
I don't mind it either. I'm gonna say this. I have a problem with some people trying to completely alter it. You know, people who were not originally invested in it, and people who don't really want to understand the culture, trying to completely change it to something else. That's my problem. The fact that it's popular. Let me finish, motherfucker. Why is it that I can never finish in a sentence on his?
Because I'm trying to give a disclaimer because of what Manny just said. I just want to point out that nobody on the Throwdown podcast advocates gatekeeping in any way, shape, or form.
No.
Yeah, that's a good way to. That's a good reason to cut me off. Yeah, right. Yeah, we don't want to go with that. But
no.
My thing is I don't have a problem with it being everywhere because I like the fact that this shit is easy for me to access. I just don't like people trying to change it from what it fundamentally is supposed to be.
I think there is that portion of things where it's like, you know, why, like, you know, there's a reason why people were originally interested in this thing. Why are you not continuing to do the same, do that thing that people really like, as opposed to kind of, you know, adjusting it because it seems a bit, you know, more acceptable. You know, there is audiences for specific things. And I feel like you continue to target that audience. And then also, you know, just, you know, I know the reason why they do these things, to try to expand it a little bit more, to get more people more interested in it. But I do feel like there's specific audiences that are into these things, and you can let that be because you're targeting them and people who are into those sorts of things.
Yeah, the example we've given on the show a bunch of times, like, you know, imagine, you know, you've always gone to, you know, you're throwing a party and they've always played rock music, right? It's a rock music party, right? Somebody comes in there, hey, I want to hear some, you know, some hippie music or whatever, right? And the guy's like, this is a rock party, dude. We don't play that stuff. Like, come on, just one song. They're like, okay, you know what? You go ahead. You play that song, right? Then they keep coming back every week and you play more and more of those things. Then they're no longer playing rock music anymore. You're just playing some hippie stuff. And if you ask for rock music, you're a fucking problem. Just, that's the shit I don't like, you know?
Well, I have something for you.
Go ahead.
And this is something that's still tainted. And it was done by, it was said, very well said by a comedian, Matt McCarthy, who was big into wrestling. And he pointed out, he was like, just like you guys said, now everybody's into Marvel. That's a cool thing. Before, that was a nerdy thing. Then there was the guys in computer class getting picked on. Now everybody has a computer in their pocket. But go ahead and tell somebody you're into pro wrestling still, and you will still get that wrestling. Even though you got The Rock and John Cena doing all these, Batista doing big movies, it doesn't matter. There are still some things that still get the snub. And pro wrestling is one of them.
It's pretty interesting to say that because I see a lot of wrestling fans on my time. I'm like, you guys are...
Your timeline are not the people out in the world. Maybe. Because when I go and I tell people, I get that snub. They're like, oh, I can't believe that. Really? That's what you do? That's where you're going? Well, I just went to Raw the other day. I told people, they couldn't believe I was doing it. They're like, you're joking, interesting. Right?
You think
it's I'll stop.
Yeah. See, there you go. You're one of them. That's why I block him on Twitter.
Adam, you think it's a regional thing? You think it's a regional thing? Because I'm pretty sure if I tell somebody they won't care.
I think it's still one of those things that people think, and I get it all the time. People say, you know, it's fake, right?
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
You see, they always bring that up as if like, no, really? This shit's fucking fake. What about Game of Thrones we've been watching? We're fucking dragons. That's just pretty fake.
I don't know if you heard, but everything that's on TV is pretty much fake.
I just don't understand why they feel the need to say it that way. It's stupid.
Because it's not publicized. It's not essentially wrestling and like luchador they're from a layman's perspective, they're essentially the same thing. They're showmanship, but it's not widely recognized in like WWF, WWE, any of that kind of thing. Like for the longest time, like people grew up and like, they're like, oh, it's fake. And they found out it was fake and they just assume everybody else assumes it's real. I imagine once you have the discussion with them, they're like, yeah, I realize it's fake. It's storylines. They're interesting storylines and it's entertaining. Their tone changes a little bit.
I tried, man. They doesn't, because they were like, it's pointless. I might as well see real fighting. Why do I want to see people play fight? I'm like, it's like stuntmen. They're still flipping and jumping and throwing themselves. That's why they get hurt all the damn time.
To be honest, it's like, I don't know. I always, you know, likened it, you know, to being like a stunt show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, okay, yes, you know, everything in a stunt show is fake, you know. But there's still a form of danger to it. It doesn't. It's okay. And you obviously watching a stunt show don't exactly know what the outcome is going to be. You're watching a performance. So what's the problem?
My thing is like, okay, yeah, if it's so fake, you get in the ring and do that shit yourself and see what happens.
Oh, it's gonna get fed. Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah, but it is stupid. It's like, oh yeah, wrestling's fake. I'm like, and then like I'm gonna go watch Game of Thrones now. I'm like,
that's what I'm believe what? Me, it's the same shit. They're like, oh, it's different. They're actors.
It's but the wrestlers are actors too.
Yeah, that's it. They're acting and they're getting physical at the same time.
It's crazy.
You can fake a lot of things, but you can't fake a body slam. Yeah, you still got to pick a guy up and slam him down.
Man, it takes a lot of dedication and training to do shit like that safely, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of these guys die early, you know, because of they shit do. Like that. You know, it's crazy. Fucking
getting hooked on painkillers and drinking, and then they die of heart attacks.
It's a tragic story. Please don't let that distract you from the fact that in 1998, The Undertaker threw Mankind off.
Yes. Do you remember that? That dude was tweeting it everywhere nonstop. He was fucking sitting all over Reddit. Oh my lord.
Yeah, oh, by the way,
I think he still does it.
Glorious War, he goes, I make fun of wrestling. He goes, people think it's men's soap opera with shit plot lines rather than watching with a good plot. Okay. Hey man, I don't judge people on what the shit they want to watch.
Hey, they like people watch Michael Bay movies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, those are multi-million-dollar movies, and people watch those.
And they're fucking trash.
Yeah.
That's right, man. Bitty hype. All right, moving on here. Bob Ross's pubic fro band. All right, what consoles from any generation had terrible marketing? I'm just going to say PS3. PS3 had horrible marketing. You didn't know what the hell was going on. Like, what's with the octopus and the baby? What the
fuck? Yeah. Who did they hire to do that shit?
It was like a giant chess piece. It was like the print ads was like a giant chess piece that was and a bleeding chess piece and a PlayStation sitting on the corner. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, Spider-Man like text and stuff like that.
What the Spider-Man fuck? Text? They did that one on purpose. Like, and put fucking Spider-Man in the damn PlayStation trailer.
Yeah, exactly.
TV.
Xbox One. Yeah,
that was bad. Yeah,
I feel like if they had a better, if they had a clearer message and had a better way of explaining a lot of that stuff to people, I think it would have been a little bit of a better thing.
I'm pretty sure their message was TV, Manny.
TV
and sports.
And see, you remember that thing that Tony was talking about? You know how things are changing. You know, they were trying to change around something that it had already been working. That's a very good example right there, where essentially the guys at Microsoft totally underestimated the audience that they're playing with. That the people at the who play their consoles don't play because the damn thing can run TV and cable or run Netflix. No, they play it because it's a video game console, and a video game console that just so happens to do all these other things.
The ironic thing is now the need for what that original marketing campaign, like where it integrates your whole entertainment system, like nowadays with all the streaming services and everything like that, that is kind of something that you need and something that it's grown into. It just turns out they were too far ahead of their time and they pushed their customer base too hard. Like you can't get them to swallow a pill that big if they don't want to. But it's ironic the amount of features that ended up being used or are needed now still. I expect to see a return of some of these features with the new Xbox that's coming out, but I also don't expect them to land on them quite as hard as they did this generation.
What was another bad company?
The Atari Lynx. I feel like they didn't really advertise that. I wasn't too sure what the hell, if it was going to have quality games.
Remember that? Atari at that point had terrible advertising. Like the Jaguar ad was also terrible.
Yeah,
that was bad.
Does lack of advertising count? Can I throw the Vita in there?
Yeah, you can. Sure. You can. Yes.
Well, I feel like Sony has this weird way of advertising.
Sony in general does a bad job of advertising shit. You know, let's just be honest. Remember, back on the older throwdowns, we always complained about that. Like Sony, market your shit.
Yeah, you have the biggest thing coming around. Coming around. What are you expecting people to, word of mouth to get this thing out there?
Yeah. Dude, has anybody seen a PSVR ad? I know that they've shown the PSVR spinning on the screen, but has anybody seen an ad?
No, I've never seen an ad.
For isn't PSVR. It hard though? Like, how do you probably show what the person wearing the VR headset sees?
I don't know, but they haven't even tried. That's
Well, no, I mean, he is right, though. It is an incredibly tough sell to just show some guy with a helmet on. You know what I mean? I think the big thing about the VR in general is how do you sell that to somebody when you can't actually give a full sense of what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
It's precisely the reason why they don't bog down a press conference with a bunch of people wearing VR helmets and demoing a game.
they show gameplay for first person games all the time.
I think the best, when it comes to all this, that they should all learn from is the way the Nintendo Switch did their ad with that baseball game, where they show the kid playing the baseball game at home. He then takes it out of the dock, puts it on his pocket, goes on the train. He's playing it there, goes to work, comes back and plugs it in. They should all learn from something like that. Just keep it simple.
Yeah, what other company or what other company?
A PSP with the squirrels. Remember the squirrels?
Oh, yeah, those dumb squirrels. Sony had a couple of really crazy like ads for the PlayStation 2, which were made by David Lynch. I'm like, why? What? Why would you even do that?
That's crazy.
In the 80s, there was some questionable ads. The original Legend of Zelda with guy in the black turtleneck.
Yeah, running down the hall. Stage. Yeah.
Zelda! It's like, what is this supposed to be?
Yeah, a lot of those ads were fucking weird. All right,
and PTD stole that.
Moving on here. Okay, if Sega made a Saturn or Dreamcast Mini, what games would you like to see?
Ah, shit.
We're not going to get the ones we want to see. They're always all of a third party still.
I mean,
so let's break it. Yeah, let's break it down. Let's start with Dreamcast. That's everybody, you know, owned that one.
All right. Skies of Arcadia?
Yes.
For sure. Both Sonic Adventure.
Sonic Adventures, yeah.
Ready to Rumble. Got to get that in there. You know,
Rage from Boxing, yeah. Crazy Taxi,
Jet Grind Radio.
Yes, gotta have that. Soul Calibur, the first one.
Semen.
Yeah, yes. Because why not? You gotta have it, man.
You gotta fill that thing with
NFL, semen. The 2K. NFL 2K was on it.
Power Stone.
Yeah, and even though it didn't age
well. Power Stone.
Even though it didn't age well, the first Sonic Adventure, you know.
Grandia.
Grandia 2 specifically. That was
Grandia 2, yes.
Yeah.
I put the Sword of the Berserk game on there. I love that game.
I would throw Marvel vs. Capcom in there.
That game ruined like a year of my life.
Wait, what?
I just did. Because they were coming out with the fucking Berserk anime the originals at the same time, and I knew at some point we got to the stuff that happened in the video game.
I didn't know. I remember, you know, Chris. I think Chris had it at the same time, and we were talking about it. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Why the hell is Asuka not talking now?
Yeah, I was like, why is she mute? What the hell is happening? Whoops, we didn't know.
All right. For
what about a Saturn mini?
Yeah, for Saturn, I want. Just off time, Guardian Heroes, right? X-Men versus Street Fighter, Panzer Dragoon Saga, the first two Panzer Dragoon games, Virtua Cop. I would say Street Fighter, but Capcom already has that covered. And that's what I got. There's probably more, but those are the ones that came off the top of my head. What about the rest of you guys? Am I the only one that owned a Saturn here, by the way?
I think so. Chris, I didn't get that one.
Chris, I was pissed after 32X, man.
You had the same thing I did after it. Yeah.
I had the rage. I'm like, how dare you? I just bought this shit.
Also Shining the Holy Ark, because that is the first RPG I actually played, you know? So gotta have that in there, and that's considered a classic. Now I didn't have no idea, but it was really fun back in the day. I was like, I'll tell that story another time, but yeah, Knights. I almost forgot about Knights. You know,
Knights. Who are you?
You know, yeah, good stuff, man. Yeah, but I think the Dreamcast Mini will be the you know, the actual reality. Nobody gives a fuck about that. You know. All right. And the last question, unless you have another one for us, Glorious War, and it is from Glorious War. Has the panel not liked a game from the same developer? I am playing Bloodborne, but not getting into it because I enjoyed and platinum Sekiro.
Not sure I understood that question.
Okay, basically, like, is there a game from a developer? Okay, or is there a developer that made a game that you really love, but they made another game and you're... Okay, here's a better one. Let's say you get into a developer for the first time, you never played them before, right? You play one game from, like, these guys are awesome. Let me play another game. And then you're like, I don't like that game as much as the other one.
Yeah, I could see it.
I know I have an answer. Platinum Games. Platinum Games was the golden child for me, right? Vanquish, Bayonetta, fucking amazing. Then Metal Gear Revengeance came out. I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, so there you go. That's my answer. Metal Gear Solid Revengeance. Trash.
Shit, for many people right now, Red Dead is for Rockstar. A lot of people love GTA people 5, and then Red Dead just squashed
it. Well, the online part, yes, trash.
I'll give the ultimate example. Uh-oh. BioWare.
Oh, shit. We don't even need to explain that one.
But a lot of people didn't like Andromeda also, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the main one.
Yeah, no, Anthem, brother.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
But I mean, it started with Andromeda.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, it started with the Mass Effect 3 ending, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Let's be real, you know. Oh, man.
Bungie is another one. I love every Halo game they made. Destiny, I didn't like. I mean, I didn't love. They were just okay games. Overhyped.
Yeah, you're like, this is bullshit, Mr.
Davis. This is bullshit.
This is an old example. That was me when Final Fantasy VIII came out.
Yes. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure you loved every Square Enix game before that, didn't you?
Oh, God, every single one. And then I felt so betrayed.
That was a bad game.
I'll answer for Brian and say The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Naughty Dog.
He never liked Naughty Dog, though, I don't think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he never liked Naughty Dog.
Never mind. He just hates Naughty Dog games.
Are you telling me he is not a big Way of the Warrior fan? What's wrong with Brian?
The Warrior.
Let me look at the chat here. Respawn, Modern Warfare, like Titanfall 1, Respawn, not so much. Okay, so he liked Modern Warfare. He didn't like Titanfall. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's every studio pretty much has these types of examples.
Yeah.
I love the Call of Duty games. I didn't like Black Ops 4.
Black Ops 4, Respawn, Infinity Ward?
Infinity Ward, but the last one that they did from Infinity Ward was okay. I didn't have issues with it. I didn't have issues with any of the Call of Duties except for Black Ops 4.
You didn't like the Advanced Warfighter also.
Oh yeah, that's right. But I still played the story. I enjoyed the story, but it wasn't up to what Black Ops 4. I just literally, if you look at my playtime, I think I put in like 3-4 hours most.
Yeah, because Black Ops is like sort of it was a gold standard for Call of Duty games like recently. Just fucked that up.
Yeah. I think that's it, man. So yeah, I mean, songs.
You may hit me with them graphics.
Yeah. Although, you know, we don't really get asked this question anymore because it's simple now, right? Anyway, you want to ask this question, so you go to our Discord. You join up our Discord. In Discord, you go to throw on your questions section, and you submit your questions. You limit them to two, and you are good to go, man. So, yeah, that's gonna do it for us, man. So thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. And if you want to ask us questions for the next show, leave them in the Discord server. All right, so that is it for us. Once again, I'm your host, Tony Polanco, treasured by Media Lopez.
See you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Hey, people.
Brett Murdoch.
Game of Thrones.
And Adam Bale.
Yeah, have a good week, people.
All right, guys, we'll see you on Thursday later.
Peace. Go watch Attack on Titan.